Good afternoon. The Secretary General and the President will make introductory statements, and then we'll have time for a few questions. Secretary General.
President Vucic, there, Alexander, it's great to see you again. Welcome back to NATO headquarters. You have been here before, and I welcome this opportunity to sit down with you and to discuss the challenges we have seen in northern Kosovo over the last weeks. We spoke earlier this month about the recent tensions in northern Kosovo, and I appreciate the opportunity to meet in person today to continue our discussion. And I will be meeting with the Kosovo leadership later today. While the situation on the ground has improved, it is the responsibility of all parties, particularly the officials from Belgrade and Pristina, to prevent escalation again. I call on all sides to show restraint and to avoid violence. NATO continues to monitor closely the situation on the ground. Our KFOR peacekeeping mission remains focused on its UN mandate. Should stability be jeopardized, KFOR stands ready to intervene and will take any measures that is necessary to ensure a safe and secure environment and freedom of movement for all the people of Kosovo. Constructive dialogue is the only way to resolve differences in the region. And the EU-facilitated Belgrade-Pristina dialogue is the platform to find a solution that respects the rights of all communities. I welcome the next round of dialogue taking place tomorrow. I encourage all sides to engage in good faith, to show flexibility, and to be constructive. We also discussed Russia's brutal war against Ukraine. It is important that the international community stands united in imposing Russia's unprovoked aggression, and that we all take steps to convince Russia to end this war. The seizure of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant by Russian forces poses a serious threat to the safety and the security of this facility, raises the risks of a nuclear accident or incident, and endangers the population of Ukraine, of neighbouring countries, and of the international community. It is urgent to allow the inspection by the International Atomic Energy Agency and to ensure the withdrawal of all Russian forces. So, President Vucic, Alexander, once again, great to see you here. NATO values our long-standing partnership with Serbia, and we will continue to work with your country to promote our goal of peace and security in the Western Balkans. Thank you for being here today, and once again, welcome to NATO headquarters. Please, Alexander.
Dear Jens, thank you very much for receiving me here in Brussels, and if you allow me, I would speak in Serbian language, and then we'll be able to respond to some questions in English. Hoću se zahvalim pre svega Jensu Stoltenbergu na tome što je želeo da sasluša poziciju Srbije, i to nije prvi put. Ja mislim da Jens dobrim delom i razume srpski ovo što govorim, i čak mu nisu slušalice sasvim potrebne. U svakom slučaju, govorili smo o onome što se zbivalo. Ne moramo uvek sve stvari da vidimo istim očima, ali ono što je za nas važno, to je uloga KFOR-a koju mi poštujemo, uloga NATO-a na Kosovu koju poštujemo, i načelnik generalštaba je po mom naređenju stupio u kontakt sa komandantom KFOR-a kritične večeri oko 21 sat. Mislimo da je to značajno uticalo na smirivanje tenzija i na ublažavanje krize na severu Kosova i Metohije. Mi ćemo nastaviti da poštujemo mandat KFOR-a u skladu sa međunarodno javnopravnim normama koje su proklamovale Ujedinjene nacije, i verujem da ćemo uvek moći da naiđemo na razumevanje i želju kako gospodina Stoltenberga, tako celog KFOR-a i NATO-a da se obezbede mir i stabilnost. Rekao sam da su za Srbiju mir i stabilnost od presudnog značaja. Ja ne volim da prebacujem krivicu na bilo koga drugog, niti volim da se služim tim detinjastim pričama. Imaćemo sutra teške razgovore, gotovo ni u čemu nismo saglasni, ali ono što je pozicija Srbije, to je da će se držati međunarodnog javnog prava, rezolucije Ujedinjenih nacija, povelje Ujedinjenih nacija, Briselskog sporazuma, svega onoga što je potpisano. A što se tiče naših bilateralnih odnosa, ja sam još jedan put istakao generalnom sekretaru Stoltenbergu da je Srbija vojno neutralna zemlja, da će ostati vojno neutralna i da ni na koji način se u tom blokovskom smislu neće opredeljivati. Mi imamo svoju istoriju koja nije laka, koja nije jednostavna, ali želimo učvršćivanje dalje saradnje i odnose i sa KFOR-om i sa NATO-om i želimo da izbjegnemo svaku vrstu mogućnosti da dođe do eskalacije ili sukoba. Mi smo se ponašali veoma odgovorno. Naravno, mi mislimo da nismo napravili nikakvu vrstu ni provokacije, niti incidenta, ali ja razumem da smo mi svi zajedno sa Balkana dojadili i dosadili svima ovde i u Briselu i na svakom drugom mestu i da im je teško da slušaju naše jadikovke i žalopojke i kritike na račun drugih. U svakom slučaju, ono što je važno za ljude u Srbiji i za naš narod na Kosovu i Metohiji, to je da smo mi našu poziciju objasnili. Ja sam dostavio listu upada specijalnih prištinskih jedinica na sever koje su morale za to da imaju dozvolu saglasnosti 4 gradonačelnika, nikada nisu i NATO, a nikada nisu. Dostavio sam spisak svih incidenata i napada na srpsko stanovništvo koje je učestalo na celoj teritoriji Kosova i Metohije i naše je da govorimo o svojoj poziciji, ali istovremeno da učinimo sve što možemo da sačuvamo mir i stabilnost. Još jedan put veliko hvala Jensu na tome što je želeo danas da nas sasluša.
Okay, we'll have time for some questions. We'll go to RTS. No, just behind. Thanks.
Pitanje i za generalnog sekretara i za predsjednika. Dakle, albanski mediji su navodili prethodnih dana da je srpska vojska pregazila međunarodno pravo i da je prešla administrativnu liniju. Ima li NATO dokaze za te tvrdnje? I za predsjednika Srbije, da li vas je agresivno ponašanje Albina Kurtija i Kvinte nateralo da razmišljate o ponuđenoj ruskoj bazi u Srbiji? Hvala.
NATO's role in Kosovo is based on a very clear UN mandate, and we take that very seriously, meaning that our responsibility is to be neutral. It's not to be part of the conflict, but to be a neutral actor that ensure the safety, the security of all communities, and also the freedom of movement of all communities, including, of course, the Serbs. Therefore, we are very careful doing anything that involves us into the conflict. We support the EU-facilitated dialogue, the political dialogue, and this is underpinned and supported by the military presence of KFOR in Kosovo. So that's my main message, is that we will not be involved. We will be a neutral actor and conduct our presence there according to the very clear and strong UN mandate.
Ako mi dozvolite, ja bih delimično odgovorio na prvo pitanje. Dakle, naravno da srpska vojska i srpska policija ni jednog trenutka nisu prešli administrativnu liniju. Lagali su za to kao i za sve drugo. Kao što lažu već 180 dana da ćemo da napadnemo nekoga u regionu i niko nije rekao ni jednom izvinite zbog svih tih laži, iako se to još nije dogodilo i neće se ni dogoditi. Ja sam zahvalan na to što sa takvim neistinama nije izlazio, za razliku od nekih drugih. Što se tiče vašeg drugog pitanja, Srbiji nisu potrebne bilo čije strane baze. Srbija je vojno neutralna zemlja, Srbija želi da čuva mir, želi sama da obezbeđuje svoje nebo, svoju zemlju, svoj narod, svoje stanovništvo i tako će se ponašati u budućnosti.
Bloomberg.
Joe Ziyech from Bloomberg. Thank you for the question. Secretary General, could you be more specific about KFOR's statement that they would be ready to intervene if stability was jeopardized? What exactly would that, when would that happen? What would that look like? Thank you.
So first of all, we have now a significant mission, military presence in Kosovo, close to 4,000 troops. And just that presence in itself helps to stabilize, help to reduce tensions, and help us also to prevent escalation and any type of conflict. Second, we are also the KFOR commander. KFOR is closely is in close contact with the authorities in Belgrade, with the chief of the Serbian defense, but also with the authorities in Pristina. And having these open channels of communications is also a way to prevent miscalculation, misunderstanding, and to act when we have situations as we saw at the end of July. And then there was also again a direct contact between Serbia and KFOR that helped to reduce tensions. Then, of course, if needed, we will move forces, deploy them where needed, and increase our presence. We have already increased the presence in the north. We are ready to do more, but, of course, we will act when needed, and we will act in a proportionate way, because our main aim is to help to reduce tensions and to ensure all communities, the freedom of movement, the safety of all communities, including, of course, the Serbs in Kosovo.
Imam dva pitanja. Prvo za vas, predsjedniče. Da li ste i kakva uveravanja dobili od generalnog sekretara da će KFOR dole na Kosovu zaista na terenu zaustaviti tu nasilni upad od strane Prištine, kao što smo mogli da vidimo u prethodnim incidentima? I evo, za gospodina Stoltenberga, rekli ste da će KFOR delovati kada to bude bilo potrebno, imajući u vidu da ste da imate mandat po rezoluciji 1244 da očuvate stabilnost i mir na Kosovu. Kako sada, imajući u vidu sve prethodne situacije upada na sever Kosova, kako možete da garantujete nasilje protiv Srba na severu Kosova? Kako možete brzo da reagujete? Koliko zapravo brzo možete da obezbedite tu bezbednost na severu Kosova? Hvala.
Ne znam što bih vam odgovorio, prosto. Ja mislim da je važniji Jensov odgovor na ovo pitanje, samo što mi svi drugačije gledamo na to. Drugačije pogled zemalja Kvinte i naš na celu situaciju na Kosovu. Oni će vam reći da je nasilje, i čitaće ovo što je Jens rekao, da je nasilje u barikadama, a da nije nasilje u provođenju, sistematskom provođenju i pravnog i suštinskog nasilja nad Srbima. Tako da, pitanje je kako će to konačno, koji na koji način da gleda. Ono što mi imamo potpisano posle Briselskog sporazuma, to je da njihove specijalne jedinice imaju vrlo ograničenu mogućnost ulaza na sever. Oni to uvek pravdaju borbom protiv organizovanog kriminala, jer svaki Srbin koji im se suprotstavlja na bilo kojem mestu je kriminalac. Tako da Kvinta će uvek to da podrži, uvek će da imaju leđe, i mi se nalazimo u vrlo teškoj poziciji po tom pitanju, da budem sasvim otvoren. Za nas je to lose-lose situacija, prosto vrlo teško, ali znate, kad ste satrani u ćošak i kad nemate više gde, ja sam to negde rekao i Jensu Stoltenbergu i svim drugima, dakle, nemojte da očekujete od Srba da uživaju i da govore kako im je mnogo lepo. Ima nova generacija klinaca, mladića na severu Kosova i na celom Kosovu koji neće to da trpe. I to nema više veze ni sa mnom, ni sa Jensom, ni sa bilo kim. Mi smo ostarili, omatoreli, neće da trpe teror. Oni ne doživljavaju Kosovo kao nezavisnu državu, kao što ih doživljava, ne znam, 22 od 27 zemalja Evropske unije. Oni doživljavaju to kao teritoriju Srbije, a u skladu i sa rezolucijom 1244 i međunarodnim javnim pravom. Tako da mnogo, mnogo problema tu ima. Ono što je za nas važno, to je da uz pomoć KFOR-a sačuvamo mir, da sačuvamo stabilnost, a nadam se da će biti dovoljno pameti da kompromisnim rešenjima dođemo do nekog dogovora.
NATO is ready to act, and KFOR is ready to intervene, and of course we can do that also on short notice. We have the capabilities, we have the forces, they will be deployed where needed. We have presence already in different places in Kosovo, and we have increased our presence in the north. And there are regular patrols, including in the north. I visited KFOR not so many months ago, and I was updated in detail about their presence, their ability to deploy and to act and intervene when needed. But of course, it will be proportionate, and it will be and it will reflect the needs and the challenges we face. But just the fact that we have close to 4,000 troops in Kosovo demonstrates a strong commitment and helps to defuse the situation. We have to remember now that the KFOR mission in Kosovo is now NATO's biggest military mission outside NATO. And at the Madrid summit, heads of state and government recommitted to the KFOR mission, and I welcome that allies and partners continue to provide the forces and the capabilities to ensure that KFOR can fulfill its mandate. Let me also add that KFOR, of course, works closely together with other actors, including the EU police mission, EULEX. NATO is not the first responder, but when things get really difficult, really dangerous, then we deploy and we act as we did at the end of July.
We'll try to take one final question, Politico.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. First of all, Secretary General, given the rhetoric that we've been hearing in the recent incidents, how do you see the level of risk at the moment for a possible escalation in the region? And then for President Vucic, Prime Minister Kurti said earlier this week that there is a risk of Russian involvement in the Serbia-Kosovo relations, increasing chances of a conflict. How do you respond to his concern? Thank you.
Of course, there is always a risk, and therefore it is important that we have the meetings taking place today and tomorrow, and therefore also welcome the fact that President Vucic decided to come to NATO and of course also engage in the EU-facilitated dialogue tomorrow. I will meet Mr. Kurti later on today, then I will of course, get his assessment. My message is fundamentally the same, that everything has to be done to prevent escalation. NATO will do its part by sending a clear message from KFOR, by being very clear in our communications that we will intervene, we will act when needed. The best thing is, of course, to prevent and avoid any need for increased NATO presence, but we are there. And just the presence and the clear messaging from the commander of the KFOR forces, from me, from the whole of NATO, I think helps to de-escalate and prevent escalation.
Thank you very much for asking the question. First of all, I don't believe that there are any kind of concerns from real concerns from Albin Kurti and Pristina side. And it's about political narrative, political rhetoric, in which you can use everything against the other side. And it's always easy, as you know, to tarnish someone. And for me, it's even much easier to refute all these claims, because for 180 days so far, we've been listening about Serbia's possibility and Serbia's wishes to invade either some entities, either some countries in the region, and that was going to happen 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, a month ago, now, and it didn't happen so far. Which means that they were actually lying about it, and there were no rebuking from anyone in the world about this kind of narrative against Serbia, and it's always easy, you know, just to use the current political situation against someone else with no real arguments. That's why I was asking even NATO to scrutinize the situation in Kosovo and to tell us when did it happen and where did it happen when Serbian forces crossed that, we would say, administrative line, they would say country border or whatever you call it. It means that what we need, it's a rational approach. What we need, it's talks. It's compromising solution, and it's not something and someone's desires to find solutions in which someone might blackmail Serbia or someone might order Serbia how to act, and we wait for mutual recognition. If we don't, and if that don't happen, then Serbia will, it'll be Serbia's fault. We found a culprit finally, and that's it. No, it doesn't work like that. We need to talk to each other. We need to see what would mean and what would be a real compromising solution, and we are ready for that. But for this kind of narrative and talks, we can just deny it. And I also know that we'll never hear a word sorry for all these false and fabricated claims against our country. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press conference. Thank you.